looking to get close side of Font. Lefondre away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Elm Park Rules podcast, sponsored by Blue Collar Street Food. Join us on Sunday afternoon on Halloween. Dave, a bit of a scary performance last night, joining us all the way from the US. How are you doing today?
Not quite a horror show, but definitely not the the excitement we wanted yesterday.
Yeah, Nick, it wasn't much of a treat for Reading. I had to throw in some Halloween puns today. How are you doing today, Nick?
Yeah, not bad. A bit deflated from just a run of defeats more than anything. Not necessarily the performance, just losing.
A bit of a trick, Nick, right? No? Okay. Well, we'll get rid of the Halloween puns for the rest of the show. Yes, last night, Reading lost 2-0 at home to Bournemouth. Dave, before kickoff, I think there was a lot of negativity, particularly online. People were very, very pessimistic going into that game. Probably rightly so, given that Bournemouth hadn't lost this season at all. We went into the game with pretty much the same lineup. We played the same lineup as we played last weekend, just with the one change, Puskás coming in for Aziz. I'd like to ask whether you kind of expected any other changes, but given the strength in depth and who's on the bench at the minute, it seems like a bit of a redundant question, really. What were your thoughts going into the game?
Yeah, I think you knew it was going to be a struggle. Bournemouth are flying, and we don't really need to go over our problems because we could just copy and paste them from every other episode that we've done this season. The lineup was no surprise. The only thing that would have changed it probably is someone that was in yesterday getting injured during the week, which was quite likely given our current luck in that area. I really didn't think we were going to do much. An unpopular opinion I had earlier in the week was maybe we use this as a chance to rest some of our first teamers and put the kids out and just know that we're not going to win this one anyway. But I was a little negative, so didn't proceed with that.
Nick, again, the bench yesterday was very, very weak. And as Dave said, potentially you could have seen some first team players rested. Maybe it's a bit defeatist, potentially, going in with that mindset. But when you look at our bench, outside of Tom Holmes, none of the outfield players have even ever started a championship game before.
Yeah, even Tom Holmes is only 21, a lot more experienced, but he's a young player still himself. So there's no sort of real experience on there at all, other than Raphael, who's a goalkeeper. I mean, the Bournemouth team is very strong and their bench is ridiculously strong as well. I think Ryan Christie was on the bench, Jamal Lowe's on the bench, Chris Meppen's on the bench, and Pearson was on the bench coming on. And it's quite frightening when we know if we get in control of this game, they could bring on three players that can change it. If we go behind or pushing for a winner, if we're level, we know that with these youngsters, there's not much we can do. We're just very predictable at the moment. The lineup's very predictable. The only thing I can think about doing, other than maybe giving a few of the youngsters a chance, is changing the shape to fit the players we've got fit. I don't think Tom Delibashiri does anything really out wide. I don't think he supports Yeardon very well out there. And just players aren't performing. So I think we need maybe a change of shape. But I don't know. Josh Lauren hasn't been playing very well as well. Another one, other than centre-backs, maybe playing in a back three. But Panovic just seems pretty... I don't think he's ever changed formation. Not many times, if at all.
No, there was a little bit of conversation afterwards about how yesterday might have been set up for us to play 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, I guess, against Bournemouth. But I mean, would you have liked to have seen us play 5-3-2, Nick, yesterday somehow?
Yeah, I was thinking about it in the week before the game, just a change, and especially playing Bournemouth, going a bit more, maybe being a bit more solid there, putting Lauren in that back three, because sometimes apparently isn't 100% match fit. Plus, he's played well there as well, to be fair, with Dan and Moore. You've got the two fullbacks can play wing back, bring Delibashiri back into centre mid with Drinkwater. And then you could play Ovi more central with Swift off of Puskás and see how that changes things. But I just don't think we're we just don't look like we've got much going forward. There's other than Swift, and Ovi's not in the greatest form. I think we need to change it somehow. Maybe get the wing backs bombing forward and acting as wingers and get balls into the box for players to try and feed on. Maybe Puskás will perform better with that service. I'm not sure. But it's just too predictable at the moment.
Thankfully, I guess the first half wasn't. It probably wasn't what most people would have predicted, I think, the first half, especially the first 35, 40 minutes. Reading opened very, very strongly, in all honesty. I think it was a decent first half an hour or so. The earliest chance came 6-7 minutes into the game. Dave, John Swift and George Puskás with some good link-up play. And again, Puskás just doesn't find the connection at the end of the chance. I know it ended up being offside, but we'll come on to Puskás in more detail, I'm sure, at some point. But the opening was strong, and you've got to be quite pleased with that.
Yeah. What struck me was we went for it from the start, which, you know, given everything we've just said, maybe we were going to try and do damage limitation. Looked like we were going to try and get on the board and then maybe see it out. The other thing that surprised me was we were having quite a lot of luck on the wings with mostly Barbaraman coming up the left, but also Yadam coming up the right had a bit of luck as well. We were getting balls into decent positions. Final ball wasn't quite there, but yeah, it definitely wasn't what I was expecting for the first half hour. It was just a shame we couldn't quite capitalize on that, shall we say. And yeah, I think Puskás will be very happy that offside flag went up to spare his blushes, because definitely should have got there.
The next chance, he doesn't get the benefit of the offside flag, Nick. This one, it's tough to defend Puskás at the minute, I think, with some of the chances. And this one was a real sitter later on in the first half. John Swift on the byline, and he cuts the ball back into the 6-yard area with a ridiculous, filthy Rabona. And if he'd scored this, I'm fairly certain it would have been one of the best assists we've seen for years at Reading. But Puskás puts it wide and doesn't hit the target. And I mean, what do you think of this chance? Puskás should work the target here, right, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it took me a long time, first of all, to get over that Rabona from Swift. I couldn't stop talking about that for about 20 minutes. It's just class, and the way he just doesn't give up the ball. I think it's Kelly that's trying to see it out and then chopping back inside to fall in before the Rabona. I think everyone thought that was going in. It just looked like from behind the goal, that was just sailing into the far corner, and I couldn't believe it went wide. He just sort of gets a toe on it, but he's got to hit the target there. He connects. He's not really, I don't think he's really stretching for it. He just connects with it, and it's a good ball in. You've got to hit the target. There's no excuse. If the keeper makes a save, it's either because you've stabbed it straight at him or it's a ridiculous save. There's no excuses for him. Everyone keeps saying that, you know, I really want him to score, by the way. I hate going for Puskás, but he doesn't help himself. Everyone says, oh, he doesn't get the service. But when he gets the service, he still hashes everything. He's just not composed. Frustrating player. And he's got to score there. I wouldn't even say hit the target, actually. He's got to put that in. We should be 1-0 up. And as we were saying a minute ago, as Dave was saying, we were well on top. Tempo was so good. It's probably the most I've enjoyed watching Reading for that period of time in God knows when. It's about 30 to 40 minutes of really good play. We're well on top. Puts that in the net, and I think we'll probably at least get a draw out of that game. So the momentum would have swung, and you just know when you're missing chances like that it's going to go against you at some point.
Yeah, it's one of those chances where the game just swings on it completely, doesn't it? And I think after that moment, the game didn't fall away from us straight away or anything, but it certainly felt like a different game after Puskás misses that chance. Before the goal does eventually come at the end of the first half, there is one more moment that I think is worth discussing. And Josh Lauren picks the ball up about 35 yards from goal, with Puskás running in towards the penalty area at this point. And Josh Laurent, Dave, decides to take on a shot from, I would say it was probably 25 yards with the outside of his boot, with Puskás. Having only seen it live, I couldn't tell you for certain, but I think he was unmarked running into the penalty area. This isn't the first time, definitely not the first time, that I've now seen Josh Laurent essentially choose not to pass the ball to Puskás and take on a much more difficult option. And it feels like it's becoming blindingly obvious that there's certain players within this team who don't trust, don't want to have lost faith in George Puskás, which seems like just an awful place to be in.
I think that for me is the biggest sign that it's time to just try something other than Puskás. It's one thing if all the fans have lost faith and everyone's mad at him. I wouldn't expect the manager to make a change for that reason, but that was glaringly obvious. The chance he took, again, I think we said it yesterday, John Swift taking that. Yeah, sure. Okay, might go in. Josh Laurent's probably not going to score that 9 times out of 10. If you watch the replay back, it is so, so clear that the ball is on for Puskás. First of all, the man covering him is on Puskás's left-hand side. The ball from Laurent would come in on his right-hand side. He's clearly prefers his right foot, Puskás does, because you saw that chance that he missed that we just talked about. He swung at it with his right when it probably should have been his left. Everything was on to just put him one-on-one with the keeper, one-touch finish, which, you know, for all we say about Puskás, that is kind of what he can do. So the choice to just lash it with the outside of your foot and the obvious end result was what ended up happening. Yeah, there's something wrong there. He doesn't trust Puskás.
And Nick, I mean, if it's obvious to us, it must be obvious within the side as well, which one thing which we've always kind of given Pano a lot of, I guess, credit for, especially on this podcast, is team spirit, squad spirit, whatever term you want to use. When you've got players who quite clearly don't want to pass to each other and don't trust each other, it feels like that spirit is maybe not quite all it seems.
Yeah, it's worrying, isn't it? And I think, like we were just touching on, it's not the first time somebody hasn't wanted to pass to Puskás by just what it seems like when the game's going and he's in acres of space. There's a chance a few weeks ago where Swift, it might have been Blackburn actually last weekend, where Swift could have laid it off to him in a good position just inside the area, and he took too long, got closed down, and we lost the ball. But people just don't seem to want to pass to him. And the frustrating thing is with Puskás, and the crazy thing is with it, it was probably one of his better performances yesterday. And that's worrying because it's still not good enough. It's still not great. He's still missing chances. His general play's improving, I guess. But he was, I haven't seen his chance back from Laurent, but I recall it very well. He took too many touches with it before his shot. Puskás looked like he was in acres of space. And if he plays that straight in, as Dave said, he's in for a one-touch finish. Whether he would have scored, who knows. But that was the better chance. I don't know why he took the shot on, other than there's some sort of trust issue, or he just saw like glory, just 25-yard glory. I think he scored against Bournemouth last season, didn't he? So maybe he was just trying to bring back the memories of another goal. But he, I don't think he scored the rest of the season, Laurent, off the top of my head. And he's not, I think he's capable of chipping in the season, but he's not like Denis Bashiru or Swift or even Ajara to an extent. He's not the best at shooting. But yeah, the trust issue, like you said, it's not good. There's clearly, I'm sure we'll go into this later with Basalas, but there's clearly a trust issue from Panovic with the youngsters. You know, it seems pointless bringing Clark on for 5 minutes. What's he expected to do? What's the point? You might as well take off someone you want to rest for 5 minutes, not Puskás. Yeah, it's just, I don't know what he's going to do because I can't see him starting Clark. If he's going to start Clark, he would have brought him on much earlier yesterday. So I just don't know. There's clearly some issues there. But despite that, it seems like he's nearly undroppable unless Højlund gets fit or even Aziz.
Yeah, I think you're right. If Clark was going to start, we either would have seen him early yesterday or we would have seen him start by this point. It's unrealistic, I think, to keep calling for Clark to start when it's the signs are there that it's probably not just good. It's just not going to happen, is it?
It's the same as last year, Melvin Lambert. It was exactly the same. The only difference is he is bringing Clark on But it's very short spells,
and minutes here and there, not to try and change the game. It's just a desperation play at the end of games. Before half time, we do end up conceding. First goal comes from a corner. The corner itself, we'll get onto in a second, but terrible piece of officiating here. This drove me absolutely ballistic yesterday. Danny Drinkwater has taken a pretty awful touch outside the area, Dave, and the ball rolls towards the touchline. I'm pretty much in line with it where I am in the stadium, and I don't think it went out, and I'm much closer than the linesman. The linesman has put his flag straight up, and he's 60 yards away, and he's got to just have guessed from there, and essentially has changed the game because we've gone on to concede from the corner. Just give me a minute, Dave, on the performance of the referee yesterday and the two officials, to be honest.
I'll be honest, I didn't like him before and I don't like him after for the referee. He's never done well for us. And in fact, he's done particularly poorly for us. He gets a pass on this particular incident because he didn't give it. He was closer and he didn't think it went out and he didn't immediately give that corner. Looked across at his assistant who had immediately flagged, and then that was when the corner was given. The assistant that gave the corner from, BioVision from the other side of the stadium, also spent the second half just giving Swift offside for hairline offsides as well. So he was on one, so I didn't like him either. It wasn't a particularly well-officiated game. I don't know that it was all against us. I can imagine two or three instances where Bournemouth were a bit unpleased with him as well, displeased, I should say, with him too. But yeah, I think it's another thing we could copy-paste from multiple episodes. Like the officiating in the Championship is nowhere near the level that the league itself is at.
Yeah, it's a name that I'm definitely going to look out for going forwards, Langford, because it's... I think we had him last season as well.
Wednesday.
Yeah. He didn't give us that penalty.
It was the free penalties game for anybody who can't remember it, where we should have had multiple penalties and we ended up drawing away at Hillsborough last year.
He's a disgrace, honestly. It's not even just, like you said, it's that performance, this performance, and refs in the Championship aren't good, but he's by far the worst. He's honestly a disgrace. And, I don't want to just blame the referee for the result, but he's really bad.
That pretty much sums it up. Oliver Langford, bad. we'll watch out for him coming up later this season because we're bound to get him again.
Yeah.
And we're bound to end up having some kind of terrible, terrible moment in that game as well with him.
What I'm going to fear fully is if we are in a relegation fight towards the end of the season and there's a crucial game and we get him, we might as well just say we're down.
I can't imagine us having to face someone against someone like Derby or Hull later on in the season when we have to win a game and we get him.
Yeah.
It'd be horrendous. Obviously, Reading still had the opportunity to defend the corner, Nick. They don't. Let's be honest, they don't defend the corner in any way whatsoever. How do you let Gary Cahill get away with this? He's massive. He's the biggest player on the field.
Yeah. It's really bad. I've watched this back a few times this morning, actually, and he's not marked. They seem to all be sort of zonal marking, but sort of have someone covered, apart from Cahill, who's just around the penalty spot, being looked at, but no one's on him. And I think he goes round to the back post where Scott Dan is. And it's just, I don't think you can blame an individual because I don't know who's supposed to pick him up or what I don't know what the tactic is on it. I'm not sure. But it's just disgraceful to not have Gary Cahill covered at all. He's just run into the back post. And a lot of the goals we've conceded this season from set pieces, I think they're free kicks and long throws, it's because it's gone to the back post and someone's headed it across the goal to then get nodded in by someone else. Solanke and missed part. But Gary Cahill, he's a step up. He's like them signing Scott Dan, but a step up. They've done the same thing as us, but a higher level. It's a great signing. He's 35. I thought he was older. He's not as old as I thought. He's going to be massive for them in terms of getting promoted this season, which I think they're definitely going to go up, aren't they, in top two? But yeah, who's marking Gary Cahill? He just runs round from the midfield, pulls off the middle of the box, pulls off back post, headed it across goal, connects brilliantly with it as well, but very easy. And Solanke's just there. No one's on Solanke either, and it's just terrible. And all that hard work in the first half, a good performance, an enjoyable performance to some extent, minus the goals. And it's just gone down the drain.
Yeah, I think it's Laurent who's meant to be on Solanke, but honestly, I couldn't tell you for certain because it's very messy, Dave. And yeah. Set pieces of just, I know this is only the first corner we've conceded this season, but set pieces are just a nightmare this year, and it's time and time and time again.
Yeah,
I think it's the same routine as well, which makes
it is. Yeah. That's the problem. We're not learning from our mistakes. And I think, you know, some people are very vocal about, oh, zonal marking's a bad choice or whatever it may be. I think what bothers me about the goal yesterday were twofold. First of all, to let someone have a free header is a crime. To let two people in a row have a free header is just unforgivable. But then if you watch the slow-mo replay of the goal, as the ball comes to Cahill and he comes in, you see Scott Dan almost be like, shocked, like he reacts. He's like, oh, Cahill's here, and then he runs, and then you see as Solanke heads the ball, Josh Laurent with the same response, like, oh, there he is, as if both of them were completely unaware that there was a player near them. And that to me says that we're coming back to that fatigue, tiredness, mental tiredness statement as well. I think that's the underlying problem. If we have a fully fit squad and we can rotate people, I think everyone's sharper, and that to me is more of a concern right now.
Yeah, if you can rotate, then you're definitely, at least you're able to, you know, remove some of that mental fatigue, and just hopefully you have enough of rotation in there that you can minimize some of these errors, which just seem like switch offs almost, or lack of concentration. So half time, yeah, 1-0 to Bournemouth at half time. And to be honest, the last major Reading chance comes pretty early on. I think it's 5 or 6 minutes into the second half. Another great piece of play by John Swift, running down the touchline on the right hand side, Nick. And he manages to escape a defender before crossing the ball in. And it kind of bounces around in the area off Ajari, who doesn't win the header. And the Bournemouth player doesn't manage to clear it. And it falls 5-6 yards out to George Puskas, and he's not got control of the ball at this point, but he manages to scoop the ball over the bar.
Yeah, it was at the other end from me. I haven't seen this back, but from where I was, it was sort of like, surely he's just going to poke this in from what you can see at the other end of the pitch. He's just going to just put it in. But at the same time, you're sitting there, I'm talking to the lad next to me, and I just said to him, I wasn't even sort of excited. You just know it's Puskas. Until it hits the net, I'm not going to react and get too off my seat. You know, there's a big chance here, because I'm just so, I don't know, I'm just not confident in him at all. And I know it's Puskas, he's there. But yeah, somehow he misses. I'm not sure. We got the corner from it. So,
yeah. When I was watching through that, in real time, I thought he'd just missed it. And then in the replay, it does look like the defender gets there and pokes it up and over. So yeah, it makes sense for the corner. But I think the thing there is, but the defender had time to get to it. And that is a concern. Like, that should have just been buried, you know?
Yeah, he's too slow at taking chances, isn't he? He takes too long on the ball, gets out of his feet. And then just, that doesn't help with him taking one of his chances. If he gets a goal, maybe he'll kick on a bit. But just desperate for him to score.
It seems to be what he needs. Like, a lot of what he's doing does seem to come down to, and we've said it before, but like a lack of confidence. So there's a lack of confidence in him, but there's also a lack of confidence from him. And it seems like, you know, the extra touches, they're not just being clinical and stabbing something away. It all kind of falls together as down to that lack of confidence.
Yeah.
Lovely technical error there, but I am back. So, yeah, that chance, big miss. And after that, Reading didn't really have a chance, Dave. And the second goal is another error, another Danny Drinkwater mistouch, really. I mean, Danny Drinkwater, what did you think of his overall performance yesterday?
For a player that I think has been a class above for us since he's come in, and a real boost to have had him, I think yesterday was probably maybe not his worst, but one of his one he won't remember fondly. I think that he looked a little tired. His touch was a little off after so much of what he's done since he's come in has been the quality of his touch. And here he just gets caught looking for something ahead. I tweeted about this yesterday and said, "Our Drinkwater mistake," and someone replied with, "Well, there's no movement ahead of him. Who was like, he had no one to hit, so all he could have done is just pump it long." And while I think that's a valid point, people should have been moving and everything else. That again comes down to it, like, you get caught in indecision, looking ahead, like, oh, who am I going to pass to? No one's moving. And then you get the ball taken off of you. It wasn't great from Drinkwater yesterday.
And Drinkwater loses the ball, 35 yards from goal. And Nick, Jamal Lowe has just come onto the field by this point. I think he's been on maybe 5 minutes or so. Definitely hadn't been on long. And Liam Moore kind of stands him up just inside the area. And it's a good finish from Jamal Lowe. Let's not take it away from him. He does curl it into the bottom corner a bit. Should Liam Moore be going out to meet him there?
I'm not too sure. When he came on, I feared the worst. I just had a feeling he was going to score. I think he tore us apart for Wigan a few years ago. And I'm not sure if he played against us last year for Swansea too. And we had Yeardham had Jaden Anthony in his pocket for most of the game. And Jamal Lowe's a bit different. He's not a direct winger. He's a wide forward kind of type. And he's a threat. And when we were tiring, it's the perfect sub when you think about it for them to bring on. Yeah, I mean, Drinkwater, like we were saying, giving that ball away is really sloppy. He was too slow. He had Yeardham free to his right. And he was just too slow dealing with it. And he sells more down the river with that pass and losing the ball even. What Moore did is what he does. He just tries to get his body in front of the player. He maybe should give him an angle to have to go wider and not bend the ball into the far corner. It's a good finish, but it's an easy finish because he's got a lot of space to aim at. If he hits the corner, Southwood's got no chance, which he did. I'm not too sure what much more we could have done, really. I don't really want to blame Liam Moore for that. He's just been sold down the river a bit by Drinkwater, unfortunately. And as we were saying, he's been great for us. And to sort of be at fault for both goals is just a big shame to see the guy with the most quality and the most experience on the pitch be the one that does that and lets the team down. And, you know, I'm sure he'll play a part in us getting wins as the season goes on, but it's just, yeah, disappointing to see Drinkwater be the one to give that ball away so cheaply.
I mean, we didn't really come up with any kind of response after this second goal. And I would love to sit here and discuss the second half for another half an hour, but genuinely, I don't think anything happened up until about the 80th minute when there was some kind of fight in Y25, Y26. Can't really give you many details despite standing near it. Don't know what went on, but it was quite amusing to watch that rather than what was happening on the field, because nothing was happening until 82 minutes. And we can finally get onto the discussion, Dave, around why doesn't Paunovic make any subs?
We waited as long in this podcast to talk about it as Paunovic took in the game to make one. Yeah, this was a very strange one. When the second goal went in, definitely some heads went down and the already apparent tiredness became just so obvious. Everyone was leggy all over the pitch. Just make a change. We're 2-0 down. We're probably not going to come back from 2-0 down against a team that hasn't lost all season, right? Maybe we will. Don't want to be defeatist, but we probably won't. So where's the harm? Just get three first choice players off, three young lads on, and see what happens. And he doesn't. And he holds on and he holds on. And ultimately, 6 minutes left, I think it was. We've got Puskás goes off. and Clark comes on. It's like, what's his thinking here? Like a 5 minute hat trick from the 18-year-old to win the game? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I feel for Panovic, like the position he's in. I do think that a lot of our woes are outside of his hands, but the one remaining question that I don't think we've had answered is where he stands on these substitutions and why it takes so long to just try something different.
Nick, one thing that Panovic mentioned after the game was around respect, and I can't remember the exact quote, but I'm going to go, respect was the main word he was looking for, respect and trust, something along these lines, from the fan base towards the 11 fit players that he does have available to him. Now, we've seen Reading managers in the past come out and kind of, I don't want to call Panovic, I don't want to say he's deriding the fans here, but he's maybe calling them out slightly. What are your thoughts as to Panovic kind of calling out the fans? Do you think it's a fair comment? Do you think he's kind of like got it on the nose, or do you reckon he's sort of the beginning of the end for him once he does that?
I think obviously you shouldn't blame the fans, but I mean, he hasn't got much to play with at the moment, so I understand his frustrations. There's not really many options there for him at all. I think he's actually just trying to protect the players, possibly, more than anything. But, you know, you shouldn't really have a dig at the fans who are there forever. You know, whereas a manager, a lot of managers aren't at Reading anyway, aren't there for more than a year in this current day and age. And the players, a lot of them are out of contract in the summer, so they're not even going to be here anyway. I can't see many of them staying. I wouldn't say it's the beginning of the end for him. I'd be thinking it's extremely harsh to sack him, although I was probably keen for him to go after Huddersfield. I just don't think I don't think another manager is going to make any difference anyway of what we've got available. It's an injury crisis we can't help. If he was making poor tactical decisions with options, I think you could say, okay, get rid of him now, but he's not. He's got no options, and I think he's got to start using some of the youngsters off the bench, because these 11 players can't play 90 minutes. They're tiring and it's costing us results. There's no way back into the game. I think even at 1-0 really, but 2-0 definitely, but it's done. And he's got two options: to either take off players and rest them and just give a few youngsters a run out for 15, 20 minutes, even 10 minutes. Or he takes a gamble. I mean, look at Bournemouth with Kilkenny, Anthony and Zamora. They were thrown in with injuries at the start of the season and they've excelled. And who would have thought that? No one had heard of them outside of Bournemouth at the start of the season. Look at them. They're all playing great. Let's see Kamara get a run. Let's see Clark get more minutes. Maybe he help Hatim in get some more minutes. Sorry, Ashcroft looked ready to come on at one point yesterday and just didn't. He just looked like he was about to bring him on. He didn't come on, so maybe that's an injury thing, I'm not sure. But just give these guys a run out. And yeah, they're obviously not ready, but we were 2-0 down. Just rest some of our players, rest Drinkwater, who looks knackered. You know, don't take Puskas off for Clark. What's the point of that? You know, maybe rest Swift. Probably the one player that might get you back into the game, but if he gets injured, we're screwed. So yeah, he's got to do more. So I don't know why he's having to dig at the fans, because they're not the best options, but just have a go. You never know. They might surprise everyone, including himself.
And let's be honest, even if they don't surprise everybody, even if they come out, they don't really do anything on the field. You're running the chances down of an injury happening to one of the players who are meant to be starting every week when you've only got 11 fit players.
Especially as you look like long-term planning. Like, we've got another game Tuesday, another game Saturday. Now, there's no easy games in the Championship, but there's more chance we'll get something from those than against Bournemouth, on paper, at least. And, you know, we had the no midweek last week, so a week of recovery. Either start these guys or, you know, bring them on 60 minutes or something and just give that little bit of recharge extra before Tuesday for the ones that perhaps could influence a game that we might be a little bit more in.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we're going to be relying again on the same 11 players who started on Saturday on Tuesday night when we go to Millwall. Dave, Millwall away, Birmingham away this week. We've obviously lost the last three now, I think? Mm-hmm. Last three, isn't it? What kind of prediction, points total-wise, would you put us at for this week?
That's a tough one. I know there can't be any defeats. Let's put it that way. We cannot lose either of those games for me to be happy. I think that Millwall away just has a draw written all over it for me. I'm going to go 1-1 for that one. Birmingham away, it's a tricky one to call, but you just feel like you just got to go for it. And I think we, you know, if we turn up, we play like we can. Rumours of Halilovic maybe being close to coming back, who knows? Just go for it, and I think we can squeeze a win there. But it'll be low scoring, so I'm going to go 1-0 for Reading win up at Birmingham.
Nick, Millwall away on Tuesday. What are your thoughts?
Tough game. Tired legs. I think it's going to play its part. If we can just keep it tight, I'd take a point. Hopefully we can snatch a win, but it'd be a low scoring one, I think. Maybe a 1-0 win or 1-1. But yeah, like Dave said, we can't afford to lose these games now. We need to pick up at least two draws just to stop the rot a bit. But I'd like to think we can get 4 points, but it'd be a bit of a smash and grab, maybe a bit like Cardiff, maybe, in terms of getting these results just to get to the international break and hopefully get some bodies back after that. I'm not sure, but if we can get 4 points, that'd be great. That'd really pick our season back up and, yeah, damage limitation, I think, to an extent, the next two games.
Well, fingers crossed it isn't just damage limitation. And we do have some points to talk about on the podcast next weekend and in midweek. So we will be back after the Millwall game, which is Tuesday night, with a review. Matt Williamson will be back late next week with a preview of the Birmingham City match, and then we will be back next weekend after that as well. So join us then. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Cheers.